everyone here is part of the family of God. If you're not, we can take care of that today. So let's all stand and sing number 422, Surely Goodness and Mercy. 422.
Thomas Village this morning here in the sanctuary, and also those listening out in the parking lot as well, and those watching on Facebook. Interesting times. It's like trying to dodge something all the time with everything, isn't it? You know, COVID's still here. You kind of dodge, you know, you don't know who's going to show up at work, don't know who's going to show up at church, but to God be the glory, right? We've got to be faithful, right? So we can be encouraged. We're a lot closer to the end than we was when we started a while back, right? So, first off, I just wanted to thank the church on behalf of Melissa's family, the Daniels family, for all the prayers that went up over the past week or so. And thank everyone for the cards and the calls, and also for the meal that the church provided. I'm very appreciative of that. Continue to remember them in prayer. You know, that's difficult to lose two people within 3 or 4 days. So just continue to remember them in prayer if you would. But we're very appreciative of the support that our church family give us. So thank you all very much. Also, a couple of announcements. We are having a marriage conference here beginning this coming Friday on the 25th of February here, starting at 6, I believe is correct, right, Brother Ryan? And then also a session on Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. If you haven't signed up, we've got quite a few people signed up for it, but if you would like to attend outside in the foyer, there's a sign-up sheet. They just need to get start getting as good Baptist. We got to make sure we got the food covered.
Last day today.
He's empowered. He's got that Georgia tie on. He's empowered. That's it. But let's, if you would just sign up, it looks like we're planning on about 60 attendees. So that's going to be nice. And then a few other churches are also going to be helping and attending as well. So just be in prayer for that. And those that are speaking, and then also too in preparation for that. So anyone here on Wednesday night, the 23rd at 6 p.m., please come into fellowship hall. We need to just Miss Peggy and the group need some help just adjusting the chairs and getting everything ready. So if you're here on Wednesday evening and you waiting while choir practice is going on and you're not in the choir, which would be me if I'm here because I can't sing out loud. I can make a joyful noise to the Lord, but not too many people around me. But if you would need a little help just setting up for that in preparation to getting the fellowship hall ready for the meal. And then also tonight, Awana from 5 to 7, it's missions night as well. And again, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord and to know that he's always faithful. And we're appreciative of that. So if you would, let's bow our head. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him to continue to bless our service this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning that we can be here. And I'm grateful, Lord, for the family that you have given me here at this church, Lord, and that they're so supportive. And I'm thankful to have them and call them brothers and sisters, Lord. It's just a blessing. And I don't know how people that don't go to church, Lord, don't have that support group to I don't know how they make it some days, Lord, and I'm so grateful to have this family here. We ask you this morning to be with Brian as he brings a message, Lord, this morning, that you would just guide him and wrap your arms around him, Lord, and that you would just use him in a mighty way, and that all he does be for your glory and for your honor. And again, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be here and we can be in this body of believers and in this building that you blessed us with, Lord. And we just ask you to continue to strengthen us and guide us, Lord, that you give us opportunities to witness in your name. And most of all, Lord, we're just so thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who came and gave his life upon Calvary, Lord, and rose on the third day. And that through him, Lord, through our faith and through our relationship with him, Lord, we can spend eternity with you in heaven, Lord. And we're so grateful for that. And again, we're just thankful, Lord, that he blotted out all our sins, Lord. Just thank you for that. And in Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.
Numbers chapter 13 this morning.
Thank you. First people I've seen in about a week now, so you look great to me. We are going to be in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Really, we'll be covering Numbers 13, 14, and some more along there, but that's where our main focus is going to be. And before we get going this morning, I do want us to open up. I thought I brought that prayer list with me. But we do have some that we want to pray for, some that have sent me text this week and asked us to be praying. Number one, as you're turning to Numbers chapter 13, we do want to remember Sister Ruby, Keck, and Judy, and the rest of the family as Brother Jay went home to be with the Lord around 9 o'clock on Friday night. Yesterday morning? I thought it was Friday night. I talked with Sister Ruby and spoke with Sister Judy, and so the information about the gathering, it's not going to be big. It'll be around Knoxville way, but we'll try to get you some more information on that. And then Helen Russell, that is Brother J.C. Starnes' mother-in-law. She had to go to the ER yesterday due to complications of COVID. We want to continue to pray for her. And then there was a good one, Caitlin Goodman, we were told about this morning. She gave birth yesterday, but something happened, and she's having some major blood loss, and they're trying to get that together. And then pray for Amy. She's healing. She had her surgery on Tuesday. She's healing up. And then on Thursday, we found out that the boys got COVID, you know. But what else should we expect, right? I mean, praise God anyhow. Amen. I mean, we've got to live. We've got to be. Now, I ain't shaking nobody's hand. And if you noticed, I came in a little bit later this morning because I got good sense is what was given to us. But do we have any other, maybe a praise report? Praise God, Sister Tammy's had it and done been back again. So thank God for that. Do we have any other praise reports before we go to the Lord in word of prayer? Hallelujah. Yes, we've been praying for them. We've been praying for them. I know also Brother Jeff's brother, he's battling cancer right now. We want to pray for him. Any other praise reports or prayer requests?
My boss's sister that was on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the
Lord. Amen. Amen. Anyone else this morning? And if you ain't heard, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things. If you're watching my Facebook or you're listening by radio, you're just as much a part of us today as if you were sitting here in the flesh. And we're thankful that God's brought you here. And Brother Otis?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, give God a round of applause for that. Anyone else this morning? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Standing at Kadesh, or Places of Decision. Places of Decision. But again, let's begin to read there in Numbers chapter 13. I did tell you Numbers, right?
Yes.
All right, see, it's been a week, buddy. Numbers chapter 13, picking up in verse 26. So they went to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land south. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overthrow them." You may be seated as we talk about standing at Kadesh, or the place of decision. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I come to you and I thank you that you are on the throne and you are in control. But God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, my shortcomings, and I plead the blood of Jesus today and ask that you would just have me say what you would have me to say. But also I know that we need the person of the Holy Spirit to take your word and to make it where we can receive it, and that our hearts, our lives, our faith will be transformed by it. I know there are many going through times as we think of our precious friends, the Kecks, and how much Brother Jay is special to each of us. And God, we pray for their family. But Lord, there's been five deaths in 4 weeks now. So God, there are many that's hurting today. But God, I'm thankful to know that this is not the end. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we can say, even so, Lord, come now. But God, as we live on this earth, let us be reminded that our lives are not our own and that we are to be your hands in someone's life, your word in someone's day, and your encouragement to someone as we go. And God, I give you all the praise. Give me clarity of speech this morning, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, Moses, it's going to take every minute today because I found all the papers I lost last Sunday morning. You remember them notes I was asked about? I found every one of them today. Got all of them. No, you know this passage of Scripture. This is the passage of Scripture where Moses picks out, is told by God to go and to pick out 12 men, 12 spies, one over each from each of the families, and they were going to go in to Canaan, the promised land, the land that God said all the way back to Abraham. He said, "Well, what your foot steps on, I'm going to give it to you." And we see that there are two, Caleb and Joshua, that say, "Let's go. Let's go get it. God is for us. Their protection is gone, and now is our chance." But then there's the 10 others that don't have that same opinion. So I want to read this to you this morning. Jump back to verse number 1. And it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Now notice, Canaan land, where they are to go spy out, God says, "This is my gift to you. I want you to have it. I am in my book. It is already yours. So I want you to go and spy it out. Of every tribe of and of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." Now jump down to verse 17. It goes on to tell us that Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and he said to them, "Get you up by the southward way to go unto the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring back of the fruit of the land, because it was the time of the year for the first ripe grapes." Now, so he's saying, here's all the things I want you to go in. I want you to scope out the land, see if it's good land, see if you can grow on that land. I want you to check out and see if there's trees growing there. Does it look like it's a fertile type place? Do you think that we could raise some good crops there? But I also want you to check out the people. See, what are they stout? Are they obese? Are they lean? What kind of people are we going up against? And then what about the cities? I mean, are the cities very protected? You know, the Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, you don't go to war and you don't build a house unless you first go ahead and find out. You don't jump into the pot till you find out how hot it is. Amen? And that's what he's saying. So in Numbers 13, verse 21, we see it in action. "So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came from Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto a brook of Eshol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and it bare between two on a staff. As they also bought pomegranates and figs. The place was called Eshkol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Now, I don't know. Can you imagine how big a cluster of grapes has to be so that it's toted in between two men? I guess the biggest cluster of grapes I've ever seen maybe has been a foot wide and about 8 inches long, or a foot long and 8 inches wide, but the grapes are no bigger there. Could you imagine the size of a grape that was hanging on a cluster that it took two men to carry? I mean, what we see here is the physical embodiment of what we read over in John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says that Jesus came not only that we should have life, but that we should have it more abundant. I mean, there's one thing about having grapes and good grapes, but when you toting grapes between two people, you are in a place of abundant grape production. I mean, we eating jelly, jam, preserves, making grape juice and whatever else we can make. I mean, we're trying to find somewhere to shove some grapes when grandma's coming over. Put them grapes up. She's going to say we got grapes everywhere in the house. But see, and I know I'm going on about that, but that is the picture. I mean, listen, as it goes on, we know that it's going to be called flowing with land of milk and honey. That when we think about Cana, that promised land, which is a picture of the new Canaan land, heaven, when it comes down. I mean, you read in Revelations about the growings of the fruits and the different types of trees and all that's there. But listen, it says, so in verse 26, so they've checked it out. They're bringing back some things that they've got from there, one being this awesome cluster of grapes. And they went back to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh. And you may have heard it called, because it's used multiple times in Scripture, you may have heard of Kadesh Barnea. But it says, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation. Now notice, not only are they reporting back to Moses and Aaron, but that's either the third or the fourth time that it is directly mentioned that they were speaking to the congregation. They were speaking to the Hebrews. They were speaking to all of them. And notice verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land south. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. And he says, but Caleb stilled the people. Now what's happening here is they're forgetting about the grapes. They're forgetting that God has promised them this land. They're forgetting that this is their gift to him. And it says Caleb had to still the people before Moses, because see what you're going to see in just a second, they're getting mad. They're getting upset. And Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overtake it. But verse 31, but the men that went up with him, meaning all of them except for Caleb and Joshua, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report on the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, to the congregation. They said, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eat up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants. We are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we are in their sight as well. And may God add the blessings to his reading. So we're seeing that they're at this place called Kadesh. Moses has sent them in there to the promised land. You'd say probably the bottom left, if you were looking on a map, they would be on the bottom left-hand corner there where the Mediterranean Sea kind of comes to an angle, and then Egypt would be to the left of that if you're looking on a map. And they're standing there, and Moses says, God has told me that this is our gift. But I want you to go in there, and I want you to see, and I want you to learn everything that you can get. And when they come back, it doesn't say that Joseph or Caleb was the one that said this. They all agreed that the fruit there is, the land that's there, it is the land of which you have told us. It is the land of milk and honey there. But the people become hangry in Numbers 14. Chapter verses 1 through 5. And they complain and they begin to say, oh, what about the good old days? Well, wish to God we had died in Egypt. If we could just go back to where we didn't have all the powers and the privileges and the rights, but at least our flesh was a little bit more comfortable. If we can go back there. And God gets angry and he begins to tell Moses and that, you know what? I'm tired of them questioning me. I'm tired of them not listening to my words. Let me tell you what I'll do, Moses. I'll wipe all of them out. I'll do away with every one of them, and we'll start afresh and anew, and I'll put you at the head of it. And praise God for a man of God like Moses. He went and he said to God, he says, but if the other nations hear, the ones like, as you've delivered them from Egypt and all that, if you wipe them out, they're going to say that you weren't powerful enough to keep them and to deliver them into the land of Canaan. And so what happens is that God says, I'll listen to you, but one of the worst results is going to come from this. Listen what happens because of the ten that carried the word, those that were looking through the lens of fear, instead of the two that were looking through the lens of faith. Because today, whether we're saved or not saved, whether we're go to church or don't go to church, you know what? We're either living life through the lens of fear, or we're living life through the lens of faith. And listen, because they did not move at this precise moment, it says the next day came along. And this is what happened, Numbers 14, verse 26 and following. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, truly as I live, the Lord says, and as ye have spoken in mine ears, so I will do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land with concerning which I have sware to make therein, save Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But let your little ones which ye said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. He says, listen, and here's what's so sad. Do you know how many days it should have took them from when they left Egypt and when they were able to cross over into Canaan? You know how many days? 11 days. And because of their lack of action, because they were not willing to say, and notice, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. All because they said, we will not go. We would rather be comfortable than to push on ahead. They're going to spend 40 years and just wander, 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 and die. And all of this happened at a place called Kadesh. Now, Kadesh is mentioned around 10 to 14 times in the Old Testament, depending on what translation you use. If you look up the word Kadesh, it means a holy place or a sacred place. Some, when they talk about Kadesh Barnea, the name is holy place in the wilderness, or the holy place in the desert. It's about 123 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And it's right in between where the Mediterranean comes down, and you'll see the two rivers that come off the Red Sea right there. And that's where they're sitting at. But notice, in other places, it was important. You know Aaron, who is the priest, the line of the priesthood. Guess where he died? He died at Kadesh. And then there's Miriam, the brother of Moses. Guess where he died? He died at Kadesh. And guess where? You remember Moses, he was ready. God was going to allow him to see into the land. But then in a few chapters over in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, and before that as well, God spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "Don't hit the rock, but I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come out of the rock." But we're told in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me to show my holiness in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land that I have given." This is where Moses eliminated himself from being able to see the promised land. Why? Because in a moment, and it didn't really probably feel like that big of a decision for Moses at the time. He was probably a little bit upset. He had confidence in the Lord. But instead of following and doing exactly what God had told him, when he hit it, God said, "You'll not experience. You're going to wander some more too, bud." You see, one of the authors, the place of Kadesh, or that sacred place in the desert, or that sacred place in the wilderness, this is what he said. He said, Kadesh Barnea is best described as a borderline, a place of decision, a place where what I see or feel is more compelling than what God is telling me. Do you hear that? It's that decision point where what I feel or what I see is motivating or compelling me more than what God has promised me. You see, if I asked you today, let me ask you these questions. Who is Shuma, Shaphat, Agal, Pattai, Gadel, Gadi, Amiel, Nahab, and Jeul? Number one, I know you don't know who they are. They're the other ten. Now, one, I know you didn't want me to hear me say all those things, so that's why I skipped over them. But these are all the ones that were doomed to wander. Nobody wants to hear that story repeated. How did you become just a carcass in the wilderness? I mean, nobody wants to learn how to be a carcass in the wilderness. Nobody in our life wants to walk. We all want to be like Caleb and Joshua. And how do we know Caleb and Joshua? Well, most people would know Joshua because he is a great leader of the Hebrews. And I'd say in our world anymore, not many people know who Caleb is. But if you were in my age and you were brought up in Sunday school, you know who Caleb and Joshua were because they were awesome. They found the grapes, thought the grapes were good, but the God who provided the grapes was even better. And they said, if he's on our side, we can take it. We can take it. And you know what, folks? One, every day in our daily life, we come to Kadesh moments. Some of them are important. Some are less important. Wife told me to pick up something from the grocery store for supper. I forget to do it or I put it off. Doesn't really make a difference. But I got a speeding ticket and didn't remember it till the morning I was supposed to go to court. And I have to go in there and wake her up. And she says they're going to put you in jail. You see, those were two moments that came. Some had greater bearing than the others. But I want to tell you this as well. I believe as a modern church in America right now, as a whole, but more specifically as Thomas Village Baptist Church, we're standing at a Kadesh moment where we're going to side in the midst of the wilderness because Lord knows it's hard right now, but we cannot allow what we're seeing, we cannot allow what we're feeling to motivate us more than what the Word of God and the promises He has made us, and we're standing at a Kadesh moment, I believe, in America and at Thomas Village Baptist Church. You see, we have to choose. Will we be the ten that look through the lens of fear? Or will we be numbered with the two who want to be numbered looking through the glass of faith. You know, it's funny that nobody, we really don't know these 10 names, but the sad thing is most people will be like those 10 names and wander spiritually and many physically instead of being like Caleb and Joshua. Let's look at some things real quick here. The first thing, that if you're looking through the lens of fear, I promise you this, you're seeing most things negative. Amen? If you're looking through the lens of fear, you're seeing most things negative. Look there in verse 32. It says, "And they brought up, the ten brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out unto the children of Israel. They said, the land is tough, which we have gone through, and it eats up the inhabitants thereof." Again, I want to call the word back to Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, where God says, "This is my gift to you. This is mine." Do you know today that the Bible promises, not, like I said, not just life, but abundant life? He tells us that there are more levels in closeness to Him, that we could get so close to Him, I believe we'd have to ask Him to stay His hand upon us and upon this building. To see what happens when we see things negatively is we don't recognize that He's proportioned it to us. He has given us certain things. He has given us the promises of God's Word. He has given us the promise of Scripture. He has given us the hope that lies within us. He didn't come for us just to live a menial, wandering life, but He wants us to be so filled with His presence and His power that the world may know when we go around them. What does it mean that they gave an evil report? It means that they gave word that it was broken into pieces. It was a spoiled land. It was worthless. This is God's gift to them. This is what they're saying about God's gift. Listen to what MacArthur says. He says the 10 spies exaggerated the dangers of the land in an effort to stir up and instill fear inside of who? The congregation. That's who he was talking to. And you know what? I said it last Sunday, but I want to say it again. 99% of what you get outside of the walls of this church is to fill you with fear, question what you're doing, and to draw you further away from God than you were when you went out the door that morning. Praise God. Remember, and they probably did it about the land as well. Numbers 30, verse 20, remember he said, "I want to know if there's trees on it. I want to know if it's fat or lean. I want to know how it's producing." And here's the thing, no matter what they said about how bad it was, listen to what they had just said back in verse 23. "We got a cluster of grapes that take two men to tote. We got figs and pomegranates." And in verse 27 they said, "We came into the land where you sent us, and it is truly the land of milk and honey." You see, the further they got away from it, the less the gift was and the more the battle was. You see, they saw it negatively. Have you ever been to a men's conference or a women's conference or had one? And man, what happens? You get in there, you get to singing, raising hands with other people. You get all excited. You feel like the Lord's put something on your heart. "I'm going to get involved in church. I'm going to do this. He might even have me write a book. I'm going to start a vlog." All this kind of stuff, man. I'm just excited. But then 2 or 3 days later, you get away, and you just don't got that spark anymore. And then you know what I got to get everybody there on time. You know, it's going to take a little bit of effort. And I'm going to have to be committed one night out of every week other than what I'm already committed. You know what happens? The negatives begin to grow, don't they? Let me ask you this. It's scary how fast we can move away, isn't it? What have you promised God at some of those conferences? Because I'm tell you what, now's the time. Now's the time. See, our view gets skewed. When we're living by fear and we're looking through fear goggles, we just see things more negatively. Again, what has God called you to do? So what do? We look to Jesus. We looked at Hebrews 12, verse 2, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was laid before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God on his throne. There shouldn't be more that motivates us than Jesus. And Jesus says, the prize is worth it. Hallelujah. From the cross, he declared, the prize is worth it. What about us today? Are we going to choose to live after 2019, 2020? Are we going to let it be determined by the fear that we're looking through? Or are we ready to live by faith in victory the way he had died and risen for us to? Something else is that when you're wearing the fear goggles, everything else looks bigger. And you know what? Most of the time it is. That's the truth. Look right there. It says, we seen the sons of Anak. Now, if you don't know who Anak is, some believe it goes all the way back to Genesis, like chapters 4 and 5, where the Nephilims, the tribe of the Nephilims, by fallen angels, had relations. I'm not going to go that, but they were men of renown because they were big old boys. One of the names actually means long neck, that they was that much above us. But let me ask you, and look what they said about themselves. They said, we're grasshoppers. They know it, and we know it. But think about this. When in all of Christendom, Old Testament and New Testament, hasn't the trial, the storm, the event been bigger than the one man? Noah and the ark. When you read just the dimensions of the ark, you're thinking he's going to have a whole night crew, day crew, and third shift coming in there to work on that. And then there's David and Goliath. Then there's Daniel in the lion's den. I heard a song this morning that said the lion's den became a petting zoo. Then think about Jesus and the cross. Peter and John and the Sanhedrin. Praise God, our Bible is written for the underdog. It is. But think about the same there with these people. They had been released from Pharaoh, Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, had the water pour out of the rock for them. They had had the manna fall down from heaven there, and then they had the quails come in and they was able to catch quails. There was some awesome stuff that happened there. Some great things have happened there. But yet when they get to this point in their life, then the Anakites and all these other people, they're too big. Praise God, we have a God, hallelujah, that tells us he is bigger than any battle we'll ever have to face. He spoke it all into existence. And you know what? That power, it lives and abides within me today. As his child, just like they had the power to overcome the big obstacle, but instead they chose to be less. Praise God. God said, this is your land. I'm going to give you this your land. What did he tell us in Romans chapter 8, verse 37? You're more than a conqueror. I don't feel like a conqueror. I feel like a grasshopper. But what's happening? The problem with our fear goggles, we're focusing on its size instead of Jesus. Remember, when the view is negative, what do? We look to Jesus. When the trials that we're staring at get bigger, who do we look for? We look for the one who's there. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Isaiah 40:31. But hey, have y'all heard that Casting Crowns song, Crazy People? And I heard the guy wrote about it. He says, what would you do if you went home and your next door neighbor was Noah and he started building an ark? What would you do? I'd say he's crazy, and I'd probably try to say, do we have a homeowners association, something like that, because he can't have that in the yard. But think about it. Men like Noah, Elijah, David, Daniel, all the acts of the judges, Samson, those great men, Abraham, what were they doing? They were willing to believe that their God is bigger than the problem. And you know what? I still believe here at Thomas Village, our best days are yet ahead of us. But it's going to take people that won't let the problem be too big. And I'll tell you something else. And I'm not going to read this because of time. I got more points I got to get through. But I want you to write down Numbers chapter 14, verses 39 through 44. Because see, when we're looking through our fear goggles, like we've already seen, we look at it negative. Just like they no longer saw it as God's gift to them and that it was under His control and He had the authority to give it, we see things mostly negative. But then also when we're wearing our fear goggles, how do we see things as well? We always see that the problem, the circumstance, all those things, they're going to be big. Can I tell you this, though? If you live long enough, they're going to get bigger. They're going to get bigger. But then when we're looking through our fear goggles, procrastination is always an option. Procrastination is always an option. Like I said, Caleb and Joshua have to step in for the lives of Moses and Aaron because the people get so mad that they want to elect others, they want to appoint other people in front of them. And when they're doing it, now this is the next day. They had their chance the night before. God told them, well, it probably been the next morning, but instead of arguing, they would have been preparing armies. But instead, they were arguing and fussing about God's leaders. And they said, they finally got to a point where Caleb says, if we want it, we can go get it. God wants us to have it. Matter of fact, you saying that their land would devour us, we'll devour them because their protection is gone. And you know what they say? They say, okay, let's go. Let's go. And you know what Moses says? It's too late, y'all. It's too late. There was a moment of decision and you passed it. And if you go out there and try to do it now, it's just going to fail. And if you read in the book of Numbers chapter 14, that's exactly what happens. They're destroyed. They miss that moment. I mean, yeah, because God told them, God said, listen, I'm not going to destroy you, but you're going to live a wandering lifestyle. You'll not see what I've promised you. You see, there's times in our life, I'm the world's worst procrastinator. I done told you about how I can procrastinate to the day of court. I can procrastinate all the way up to it. But the Bible tells us that there's some times where our procrastination can have a minor effect. And then there's other times that our procrastination can have a major effect. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your strength, because there is no work, planning, knowledge, or wisdom in Sheol where you're going. If you got it to do, do it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it yields fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained up by it. I believe twice in my life that I've seen two churches where God has said, you need to grow. It's time for people to step up. It's time for people to serve. One church was running 130 to 160 probably 7-8 years ago, and this morning I would be amazed if they had 50. Another one that I know of is just a county or two away from us, and they were running 100 to 200 within the last 7 or 8 years, and now they may run 15 and one service a week. And you know what else? There's certain things in our life that we put off and we miss those opportunities. We come to those Kadesh moments. So what do when we want to procrastinate? We remember what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Now, those are the three things that we see in those that make the wrong decision at Kadesh. Let's look at the other two real quick, okay? And there's about four things. Number one, when we look through the eyes of faith, like Caleb and Joshua, the first thing that we see is that we have confidence in our God. Numbers 14:18, if it please the Lord, He will give it to us. In verse 9, it says, we will devour them. On further in verse 9 of Numbers chapter 14, it says, His protection is gone. And then finally he says, and the Lord is with us. You see, when we are looking instead through the goggles of faith, we're not looking at the situation alone. We're not looking at all the little things, but we're looking at our God who says, it's mine, I have the authority to give it to you, and we can have confidence in what He has said. Numbers 23:19, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, tells us in many other places that He is God unlike man. He cannot nor will not lie. If He has promised it, then He will deliver it. Amen. Do we have the confidence today in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we believe what He says instead of what we're seeing and what we're feeling? Can we say, I'm going to have confidence in His Word to motivate me and to compel me? Because if we have the faith, then we'll have confidence in Him. But I'll notice you something else here. When they're looking through the goggles of faith, they had the courage they need to serve God. Let me tell you what, those 10, they were scared for their lives. They thought we could die. And they very well could have. But what do we see when God does pass His hand over to the next generation? They walk the dog as they go through into Canaan land. We see walls fall because of trumpets. We see harlots turn over to being believers. I mean, God does amazing things when we're willing to have confidence in Him. And then His courage got us into the battle. Listen, so Caleb steeled the people. Let us go up at once and possess it. Praise God. Who knows what Thomas Village is going to look like now after COVID? We may not look much like we were. We may look exactly what it was. But we got to have some people that are willing to say, I believe what God says, that He's going to use our church in a great and a mighty way, even greater than He did when He was here in and of Himself. And again, like I said, the storms are only going to get bigger. But what did Joshua say? He got, hey, it's here. God says, hey, I'm going to take care of it. But then, you know, he became the leader. And remember Joshua 1:9? What did it say? Be strong and very courageous. I am with you and I ain't going to leave you. And it says something pretty much like that over in the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, it's a direct quote from here. But we see the difference because we, in faith, we see confidence in our God. In faith, we have courage that our God will provide us the ability to work. I read something. Let me read this to you. This is awesome. Listen to what David Jeremiah said this, that the most safe individual is the man of God serving his purpose for the will of God, because he will not die until God is done. You know that? I mean, the most safest place we can be is taking courage and working in the Lord. But then something else. They saw God's blessing for the community. You remember he kept saying, who are they talking to? To the congregation. To the congregation. To the congregation. It wasn't just about them. They wanted what was best for God's people. And I'll tell you this, that they, for us as well, whether the gift is singing, teaching, whatever, do you know this, that our goal is to see the kingdom grow now? That seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first in the kingdom of heaven and everything else will be added unto these. And then the last thing is this, not only did they see with confidence in the Lord, not only did they see the courage the Lord provided, not only did they see the blessing that the community would receive, but they saw the command to be obedient as reasonable. Obedience is a reasonable thing. Look there in 14:9, Numbers 14:9. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Can I tell you there's many reasons for us to be obedient and to respect God today? One is because He's the Creator and we are the creation. Nowhere else can the inferior try to demand of the superior. But yet somehow, as the creation to the Creator, we think we have that right. But then another reason we ought to respect and honor Him with our obedience is because not only does He provide the food, the air, the clothing, all that stuff, He allows it, but He's got my next breath in the palm of His hand. And if He says there'll be another, there will not be another one, then there will not be another one. And then add in all of that, dying on the cross for my sins, loving me like nobody else has loved me, you know, and giving me eternal life. That all that right there is just the cherry on the top. You see? Again, I pray that you understand that there are certain places in time. Number one, think about this. The Bible says that there's a place and a time. There's a Kadesh to accept Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:2. In times of my favor I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. I will tell you now that this is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. See, we're told in Genesis that He will not always... How long will God call? How long will the Holy Spirit draw conviction? I don't know. But I do know that there's coming a day when He won't. And you know what? If you're alive, when He stops, you won't care anymore. You won't care. So I challenge you today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is that day. He took the penalty for your sins. There's not one thing you can tell Him that He doesn't already know. And there's not one thing you can do to stop Him loving you. Why not choose Jesus? And then there's also a place where it's time for us to serve. Like I said before, most of the people in here today and that are watching, you would say that you're a believer, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that being said, I probably could say 100%, 99.9%, I am certain that somewhere in your life God has revealed your gift. He's told you that I've got a purpose and a plan for your life. And He might have even showed you somewhere where you need to be working. There's a lot of reasons not to today. And most of them would be justified by the world. But where do we look? We look to Jesus, right? He says, I got to work while there's light. Because there's coming a day when there'll be no light and there'll be no work. Do you know what? We don't know about tomorrow if we're going to have the same physical capacity or mental capacity to continue to serve. We don't know. But I do know that God's callings and gifts are irrevocable. Romans chapter 11. Meaning that if He called you to it at some men's conference back in 92, I'd say He's still got that call on your life. If He put a burden on your heart for a role in this church or at another church and He hadn't told you to change it yet, I'd say that's probably still what He's wanting to do. And I believe God's sovereign. I believe it's all going to work out, you know. He's got a plan, and that plan's going to be followed through. But you know what? It was God's will that He wanted that generation to see the Canaan land, but they didn't get to. It was the next generation, except for two. And because of other people's decisions, they had to wander for 40 years as well. Who does God want us to impact? Who does God? We are His hands. We are His mouth. We are His word and His love in people's lives. And you know what? People won't remember the sermon I preach next month, but they'll remember if I saw them in town and said hello and said, let's have a word of prayer. They'll remember that. And then maybe you're saved. Maybe you've come to that point. Maybe you're serving, but sometimes we don't serve because we're sinful. You know that? And we can justify our sins sometimes. And we'll say, well, I'm not going to be the hypocrite, you know. Can you tell me if you're wandering or not? Because that sounds like wandering to me. I'm not even trying to fulfill who God's called me to be. But Jesus says, if any man confess their sins, I am faithful and just to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And praise God, I promise you this. Yes, there are great things yet to come in heaven. But in Jesus' name, by the power of His word, if you're willing to say, I'm going to push, I'm going to fight, I'm going to continue looking through the goggles of faith instead of the goggles of fear. And maybe today you just need to come and confess your sins and say, right now, the 20th day of the second month of the 22nd year, I choose to live for Him. I'm going to be all that He wants me to be until tomorrow, and then I'll have to do it all over again because I'll fall and I'll have to get up and confess it. But praise God, I look at children growing up and what God's doing with them. And I look at people of God that way. As we grow in the Lord, yes, we're going to face these battles. But as we stand at those moments of decision, as we stand at our Kadeshes, will we be the 10 or will we be the 2? Praise God, Jesus died for you not only to be the 2, but to be greater than the 2. At this time, I'm going to let our song director and our piano player come. I'm also going to call Brother Keith, if he would, just to come stand up here this morning to have somebody to pray with if you want to walk the aisle. I'm not going to touch anybody. And then if need be, we'll, Sister Tammy or another, they'd be willing to pray with you as a lady. But praise God, we're at, if we are, as a church and as a nation, if we are at that Kadesh moment, a sacred or special place in the midst of the wilderness, what will history determine that we, as Thomas Village Baptist Church, decided to do? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your word. And God, I just pray right now that You give us the desire to press on. Lord, we are in that wilderness of Zin. We're in that place of dryness, and it's just a weird territory right now. But God, and others, they're facing sickness. They're facing losing loved ones. But God, the battle, though it be there, our God is bigger than the battle. Jesus, You have already won the battle. Heavenly Father, Lord, You said it is finished. So today, Lord, let us be found in the camp with Jacob, with Joshua, and with those that will not wander. But Lord, we will continue in our relationship with You and the growth of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you come this morning? Maybe you need to join Thomas Village Baptist Church so you can get in a spot to work or to do something. But whatever your need is, Jesus is more than enough, and we'll do whatever we can. Again, what about that Kadesh moment? Is today the day? Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of His favor. I tell you what, I've been talking about it a lot. There's nothing like being in God's favor. Hallelujah. Won't you come today? Praise and testimony before we go.